Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me. Thanks for hanging out with me. Always a pleasure to continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. John Hope Bryant is here, too. John is a new friend. He's someone who cares a lot about financial literacy. He's very active and involved as an entrepreneur and as an advocate for financial literacy. Also, as part of one of the products of financial literacy, he says, is the eradication of poverty. And he's the founder and the chairman and the CEO of a nonprofit organization called Operation Hope. He's a member of President Obama's Advisory Council on Financial Capability. He's the author of How the Poor Can Save Capitalism, a brand new book, which I'm excited to talk about with him. And he's our new friend, John Hope Bryant. Welcome to the show.
I'm deeply honored to be with you. And just to sort of underscore that this issue we're talking about is not only bipartisan, it's nonpartisan.
Right.
I was an advisor to President Bush, President Clinton, and now President Obama.
Good for you. Good for you. You sound like me. I'm proud to say I got a letter from President Clinton thanking me for my help with him. So I go back. I work across all the aisles, just like you. And so good for you for that. Okay. So talk to us in a nutshell in the beginning, and then we'll break it down a little bit more. Give us your overarching theme of why you think the poor can save capitalism.
Well, they already are. I mean, they get no credit for it, but they already are. I mean, your listeners and a lot of people who are from the small town that you grew up in, which is really the heart of America, frankly. And towns like that make up that is the heart of this country. And most of this country are small towns. That population makes $50,000 a year and below. Many of which have too much month at the end of their money. Mm-hmm. So it's the working poor, the struggling class, and the teetering middle class are driving a $17 trillion economy with consumer spending. So that's half of the conversation is that 70% of our economy is driven by consumer spending. 70. Mm-hmm. That's you and me buying coffee and donuts.
Right. Buying cars and furniture. Morning. Exactly.
That's right. Yeah. Buying, paying for that refrigerator at the department store, and so on and so forth. It's small micro transactions, not big things. The second piece of that is that that same group of people takes 80-90% of every dollar they make, and they put it back in the economy because they can't afford not to.
Mm-hmm. And it's existence money, isn't it?
Yes, and that existence money, paying for the same things we just talked about,
mm-hmm.
is driving the largest economy on the planet. Now, let's go one step further. Some of you folks listening to this may be a little quizzical. Now, what does he mean? Okay, let's break it down. Automobiles. It was originally a toy or a privilege for the wealthy.
Right.
Even toilets, restaurants, cell phones. You know, when you and I were coming up 20 years ago, a cell phone was a brick, a Motorola 10-pound brick on your shoulder. It cost $3,000. Now, Africa will probably become the first wireless continent.
Mm-hmm.
A billion people, 700 million cell phones. Before they can get running water or sanitation,
right.
They've got a cell phone.
Right.
And, of course, behind that are shareholder-driven companies. This is not charity or handouts. These are shareholder-driven companies that are profiting immensely because of the growth of what I call the commoditization of mm-hmm. all things for the least of these God's children. So, and the biggest retailer in the world is not Neiman Marcus, the company for which I'm associated with. It's Walmart.
Right.
I mean, so we can go on and on and on, but I just wanted to visualize for your listeners, first and foremost, that they are already American royalty. They are already saving capitalism. So people say, oh, you know, we should feel sorry for
But where is the money? Here's the issue, though,
yeah.
Don, where is the money that they're spending coming from? That's the thing that bothers me, it seems to me that we've got an increasing amount of Americans whose money is coming from the government. I mean, have we not increased the number of people on welfare, number of people on food stamps, have achieved disability, are receiving disability benefits? These numbers are growing significantly. How do we turn that around, John?
Well, okay, so you raise a very, very good point. The population has increased. Let me start by that.
Right.
Significantly, since
right.
your and my parents and grandparents were around. Since their grandparents, the population has almost doubled. Number one, the stat, there's more poor whites in America than poor anybody else. So we're all in this mess.
Mm-hmm.
Food stamps was actually created for Caucasians, not for minorities.
I don't care who it was created for or where it's going. We have, to me, the way to save capitalism, the way to save our economy is to make sure people have a job.
But not everybody's as fair as you, my friend. So I want to make sure for your listeners that, first of all, everybody's clear that wasn't a code you were talking. That it was very clear.
No.
That the issue today is not white, black, red, brown, and yellow.
That's right.
Or green.
That's right.
So we're all, the first point I want to make is that, yes, there's been some increases, but there's been increases across the board, amongst all races of people. The thing that is most important to be said, though, is that on an aggregate basis, 92% of all jobs in America come from the private sector.
That's right.
8% of all jobs come from government. And the problem, in most of those jobs, the majority of those jobs do not come from, like 1970, where it came from big business,
mm-hmm.
and 4% came from one employer, which was AT&T. Today, 70% of all jobs come from employers with 500 employees or less.
That's right.
So now getting to your point. I mean, Jesus talked about this in the Bible. He talked about poverty. He said to be poor is not to not have
right.
anything. Be poor is not to not do anything, and lazy hands make a man poor.
Right.
Jesus was talking about industry. So, yes, if you're able-bodied, you need to get up and go get a job.
Is that what we're fostering in America today? I don't think we are. I think we're fostering, being subservient to the government.
Let's be fair. Let's be fair. There was a global economic crisis. In the early part of the
And look, house. Look. I'm not that, laying. I'm not. This isn't a shot at any one person. I think we've got a systemic issue here in America. We've got several issues. At the corporate level and at the governmental level. John, give us your website, please. Tell us how we can find the book quickly.
OperationHope.org, JohnHopeBryant.com.
All right, so check that out, folks. Quick break. Stay with us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.